You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to Bear and Balance. I'm Jeff Berkus, a writer for Windy City Gridiron, and I'm joined by the editor of that fine website, Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, if you turned the game off at the end of the third quarter, midway through the fourth quarter, you might be surprised to learn that the Chicago Bears lost the football game in Detroit last night. Other than the end of the game, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I had a little visitor back here, my wife putting our ferret away, says back sleeping, which you might hear chopping around. But yeah, it was nice. It was a nice game for 50 some odd minutes. Then it all went to hell. And then I just unplugged after the game was over. I'm like, that's it. I'm done with it. I'm gonna go do some stuff. I got some things I have to take care of.
Like a ferret, apparently.
A ferret, apparently. Yeah, it was my wife's birthday, so we had the family over. So I cooked out. We just tried to enjoy some stuff, and I just had to get away from that game. It was just stupid game, like always.
Yeah, so it's the second time this year that the Bears had, you know, something like a 97 or 98% winning probability on those little charts that they show, and ended up losing that game. The other one was to Denver. I went back last year. I know that they blew a big lead against Detroit last year as well, and I think there may have been another one that I am not coming up with at the top of my head. But this is not something that we are unaccustomed to in the Eberflus era. Leads have not been particularly common, but you know, when you've always only closed out six victories in your year and a half, and you have three or four, you know, giant blown leads, like that's not a very good ratio in its own right. You know, I mean, if you were talking about, oh, it's the fourth time he's blown a big lead, but he's won, you know, 30 games over the last four, you know, whatever it is, it's a different tune, but this is, this is just a year and a half. So definitely a trend here. And we're going to, I'm sure, talk plenty about Eberflus and this philosophy as we get going. But on this show,
philosophy.
Every week, we start in the trenches. And so Trench Tribute this week, I think there's probably some good options here to talk about. So who did you want to highlight for your Trench Tribute?
I like the game from rookie Jervon Dexter Sr. I thought he looked pretty good. I mean, he's flashing a bit now. I saw a stat. I forget who tweeted it out. I apologize. I kind of saw it in passing. His pass rush win rate is now second among all rookie defensive linemen. He's playing better. I know there was a lot of concerns when he was drafted about his get off, but he kind of got rid of those pretty quick, and now he's kind of where he is. And the Bears use him at defensive end now once in a while, which is something that I don't think he did much at Florida. But he's a versatile player, and if he can keep developing like he is, that's a home run for Ryan Poles in the draft.
Yeah, he had that tip that led to the third interception, the one that Edmonds got. That was tipped at the line, and that was Big Dexter getting his hand on it. So, I think he's been playing pretty good football. He doesn't get a ton of snaps, but, you know, you've got some veterans in there. There was a couple games where he really didn't get a lot of play at all. And you kind of question, like, why aren't you playing these younger guys? And then it kind of leads to, like, well, you know, Eberflus is trying to squeeze as much as he can out of the veterans, you know, as opposed to trying to develop young guys. And we saw that in the last year, the Nagy era too. You know, you weren't seeing quite the development of the younger guys because he was trying to trust the veterans. You see that with coaches that are fearing for their job a little bit. But again, what we have seen of Dexter overall, it'd be great to go back, I think, in the offseason and kind of revisit all of his snaps and see the progression, but I think it's there. I think he's coming along, and I think he can be a good football player. I'm going to talk about the other rookie. I think Darnell Wright. It closed on a bad play, right? Yes. I mean, that's a number two overall pick, Aiden Hutchinson, that beats him on that last play, strip sack that basically ended the football game. But up until that moment, Darnell Wright had a pretty good football game. And again, I think he's still playing hurt, but it didn't seem to impact him that much this game. I thought he played really well. And I just, every week, I'm just drawn to him. I'm drawn to Jenkins. I really like watching those guys play. And I thought he held up very well for most of the game against pretty good competition. So I know people want to only focus on the one bad play, but I saw what I thought was a pretty good game out of Wright.
You know, I saw the PFF grades come across Twitter, and I saw he had a pretty poor grade. I'm like, okay. So on my rewatch, I'm like, I was trying to watch what he did here to kind of see what they were doing. And because when I first watched the game live, I thought he had a nice game. You know, going against one of the better young edge rushers in the game, in Aiden Hutchinson. You know, he didn't really affect the game till, of course, when he did at the end of the game there. But I thought Darnell Wright had a nice game. And then when I went back and rewatched it, same thing. I thought he looked really good. You know, him, I know there was a lot of concern with moving Tevin Jenkins back over to the spot he started the year at left guard. Tevin Jenkins played pretty good. Nate Davis played pretty good. Braxton Jones played pretty good. Center, bit of a hole again, which what we expect to do. But there are some pieces here on this whole line here. You know, for whatever the Bears do moving forward, I think, you know, they're starting to come together. And I like what Poles has his group is now up front, at least compared to where we thought this would be last year. They've done a nice turnaround, and now these guys look pretty good. Center's got to be fixed, though.
Well, you mentioned the center. I'm curious what you thought of that hit that Lucas Patrick took that looked like it took him out of the game. Looked to me like a pretty cheap shot. I'm not sure why they did not call a penalty on that. I think that Eberflus said in his presser that they were going to send that to the league for review. Yeah. But I don't know what the injury update on Lucas Patrick is. But one, the play itself looked like he got kind of blindside hit on a play that wasn't even live. that didn't even count. And two, you had Dan Feeney come in. The plan was for Feeney to be the center backup and for Whitehair to be the backup to both of the guards. I'm curious if Patrick misses any time. Do you think we get a Feeney start, or you think we're back to Whitehair starting?
I think it's got to be Feeney. It's kind of like the Bears pulled the Band-Aid off and, okay, look, that's it. Sorry, Cody. Your snaps were not what we wanted from you this year. I think he's a guard now for the rest of the season. I can't see him going back. As far as Lucas Patrick, yeah, that would look like a cheap shot. League outlawed those hits, those peel back blindside blocks. I mean, back in the day, that was like, you know, NFL films stuff to put on there. That was like, you know, the highlight of every ESPN, you know, show. But now these days, they realize that's kind of a cheap shot. It's unnecessary. He got hit, and Flus did say they're going to have that one be looked at by the league. He didn't get an explanation in the real time, of course, which, you know, doesn't really happen. But I think that there may be some fines levied there.
Oh, 100%. I think that they're getting fined there. All right, let's move on to the Twitter portion of the week. I'm going to let you start off because I have a fun one, and you have one that's just kind of mean. So we'll get yours out of the way first.
Mine's a throwback. Going old school. At Chicago Bears, January 31st, 2022. It's a little video clip from Ryan Poles' first press conference. And the quote highlighted on a tweet was, we all know this, we're going to take the North and never give it back. He got a lot of flack when he said it. Obviously, you know, from non-Bears fans, you know, they're coming at him. And Bear, look, he's the GM at the time. That's what you have to say. You got to hype that up. I know when they hired Lovie Smith back in the day, he made a big deal about beating the Packers, you know, and you know what he did. Eventually he got to the point where he was, he beat the Packers. But look, the Packers were the cream of the division at the time. So it makes sense him coming out there and saying that. Ryan Poles comes out and he says this, and now here we are through, you know, a season, more than a season and a half. They have not won one game in the NFC North. Flus is 0-9, I believe, now. So if he comes in, this is his big statement off the top, right? This is the big highlight reel moment that he says here. And if his head coach can't win a game in the NFC North, what does that say for his head coach?
Well, you would think that you would want to maybe get a different head coach.
Yes,
like that, exactly. That would be maybe where you would want to go with that. I saw someone quip, and I apologize to the person that tweeted this at me, and I don't remember who it was, but they said, no, he was saying we're going to take fourth as in fourth in the division and never give that back, which I thought was pretty funny because unfortunately that feels pretty accurate right now. Bears were, I think, tied with Green Bay coming into this week, but Green Bay won their matchup this week. So, yeah, that's a sad one. Throwback, but a sad one. I thought this one was fun. So I put this out there, you know, give me your hottest, saltiest take. And Anthony Mrodick at My Imploding Life on Twitter says, I'm at a point where I think the Bears would be better if they varsity blues the rest of the season. Fire the staff, let the players take turns calling plays. Even if they are worse, at least it would be enjoyable. So for those of you who missed the landmark 1999 movie Varsity Blues, at the end, the Bud Kilmer tries to, you know, give a Wendell a shot in the knee, and, you know, the locker room revolts. And so they go take the field without the coaches, right? So very, very fun. And then Lance Harbor and, you know, the injured guys are calling plays on the sidelines. It's a ridiculous scene, but kind of fun. So I thought this was funny. And so I wanted to highlight a funny one. Most of the ones we've highlighted have been angry or salty, but this one was pretty funny. But I want to ask you, is there anybody in Bears recent history, any Bears player in recent history, you think would be good at calling plays? Who would you want? Like if this happened,
okay,
this happened, right? So the Colts, you know, they fired their coaching staff last year, and then they put Jeff Saturday, as their head coach, right? They got a lot of crap for it and all that kind of stuff. So this has kind of come up a little bit, like who's the Bears version of this? But is there like a good Bears version of this where, you know, somebody that you wouldn't mind maybe seeing them call plays?
I think the obvious answer may be Josh McCown, because he is a recent player has some success in Chicago, obviously under the Mark Trestman era. He's already known. He's only coached, I think, 2 years now in the NFL as an assistant, but he's already seen this one of these up and coming guys. Just a good football mind. I think he's a guy. I guess it's going to be kind of meatball-y, but man, let's get Olin Krutz in there. You know, I think he would come in there, and I think he would right some of these wrongs that's happening here with the O-line and stuff. He would kind of get things, you know, set how he wants it set, keep guys where they're supposed to play, let them play there, and he'll be smash mouth, I think, at the end of the day. That's what he wants to do. So I saw this tweet, and I think that's a fun one. I started thinking of other fictional, you know, coaching characters that can kind of come in and do a better job than Coach Eberflus, and I think pretty much all of them could at this point.
Well, I put so Bud Kilmer, played by John Voight, has like in the movie has kind of that slick back hair that Eberflus has. And so I made the comment like, yeah, they're kind of similar. And then I was like, I'm actually going to tweet out pictures of these two side by side, because there is a little bit of similarity. And then as I said it, like the only difference is that Bud Kilmer put banners in the rafters. Yeah. He had two state titles and 22 district titles. Count them, Lester. That guy was dominant in his district. Texas State football, man. Gotta love it. All right. I watched that. That movie came out right at the right time for me, by the way.
Like, okay.
I was, you know, senior in high school, you know, playing football. Like that thing was in very, like, I don't know, important movie. It was, sounds weird for a movie like that, but important movie in my life. And my head coach was kind of an a-hole and kind of reminded me of Bud Kilmer and kind of an old school guy. Right. So this was kind of, it spoke to me in certain ways. And so it's a fun movie for somebody to reference and maybe be able to talk about it on the podcast. But I don't know. I don't know that I have a better answer. Like you said, McCown's like a legitimate coach. He's probably going to be a head coach here, you know, in the next few years. You know, the Texans were playing around with even hiring him, like with no coaching experience. I mean, you got to pay your dues a little bit there. I don't know that I have a better answer necessarily. I'm sure that there's someone like a Chase Daniel or some sort of backup quarterback that had been here, you know, a while that could be that. I don't know that the Bears don't really have that on the roster right now, right? Like there's no current player. Like, I don't think you want Nathan Peterman, you know, he hasn't been in the league long enough or proven enough that you would say, oh, he'd be a good play caller, right? Like there's nothing there necessarily. And I don't know that, I mean, there's just not a lot of experienced players that have been here long enough that you'd say current player. Yeah. Could go call plays, right? Just have Fields draw them up in the dirt, I guess. I don't know.
Old school. I mean, back in the day, quarterbacks called their own plays. So just let Fields do his thing. And let's see what happens. Like I said, it's not going to be any worse. I mean, there is no game flow. There is no flow to what happening with Getsy. So let Fields do it.
That'd be hilarious. I love it. Yeah. It's like, that was a Namath, right? Namath called his own place. United has called his own place. All back
Bradshaw, all those old school guys did. Yeah.
All right. We'll hit up onto the statistics portion of this, our stats caught up in a numbers game. There was one tweet out there about this game that was, you know, I think maybe we should talk about, but I didn't pick that, but I'm curious if you went that direction. So what is your stat for the week?
My stat is 63%.
Okay.
And that is the playing time from Bears new defensive end, Montez Sweat, 39 snaps out of the 62 for 63%. Comparison, Yannick Ngakoue led the Bears D line with 73% of the snaps, which fine. He's an edge rusher. That's his thing. But Flus was actually asked at his presser if Montez Sweat should play more snaps. He compared Sweat as a player to Aiden Hutchinson, the Lions, we already talked about earlier. And Hutchinson played 92% of the snaps for Detroit. And Flus's answer was, and I'm going to quote him here, "That's just how we do it. We platoon those guys." I don't know. If you're paying Sweat as one of the top-end defensive ends in the NFL, I want him on the field more than what he is, what he's shown. And NBC Sports' Josh Schrock actually tracked Sweat's usage, and he had Sweat on the field for only half of Detroit's third down and red zone plays. That's a money down in the NFL for your defense, and you're having your big money guy on the bench half those plays. That's, again, that is inexcusable. You need your players on the field to make plays. Sweat needs to play more.
You know, this reminds me of the conversation I was having with the Lions guys. I went on the Pride of Detroit podcast last week, and I was talking about the offense in this way, but this idea of like this egalitarian approach, this like, well, we're going to have three targets to this wide receiver and three targets to that wide receiver. We're just going to spread things out equally. And that there was a lot of Nagy personnel type stuff back then where like everybody on the roster would get like this big percentage of plays. And like, I think that kind of works in theory when you're trying to build a team and get everybody like bought in and everything. But when you actually watch NFL games, teams don't do that. Like they rely on their stars. Those guys are playing a huge percentage of their snaps. You don't see Max Crosby subbing out, right? Like these guys are on the field all the time because they're even those guys that are maybe a little bit tired are better than your next line guys. Right. So there's a little bit of that where you want to give them a little bit of a break, but that's too much. Like that's too much of a platoon. And there's a huge drop off between Montez Sweat and your reserve defensive ends. I mean, that's why you went out and you traded a second round pick and paid them all that money. Right. So I think there's just a misunderstanding of how to allocate your personnel. And I think that's shown on both sides of the ball and distribution of targets, distribution of snaps, when those guys should be on there. If you're saving those guys, save them for third downs, right? Mm-hmm. Sub them in when the money downs come in for those defensive ends. Okay, sure. You don't want to play them on first down. You want to give Yannick Ngakoue a breather on first down or second down? Go for it, right? But make sure he's out there on third down. Same with Montez Sweat. You want your best package out there all across the league. These guys, you know, they get NASCAR packages in, right? Like they get their best pass rushers in on third down. You just don't see the Bears doing that. There's just no creativity. And I think there's just a lack of understanding how to use your personnel. So really good stat from you. I went a little bit more positive. I was thinking about this. Justin Fields rushed for over 100 yards. And I thought, how many times have he done this? And it's the fifth time in his career that he's done that. And for quarterbacks all time, he's now in third place. He broke a tie with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson had four such games as of this week. I don't think Russell Wilson's ever getting another one, but that's his fifth. Michael Vick had 10 in his career. So he's actually in second place. Lamar Jackson, 13.
Okay.
So Lamar Jackson's had some games. Like he's definitely had some 100-yard games, but already in third place all time for quarterbacks. I thought that was a pretty cool number, breaking that tie with Russell Wilson. But it just reminded me, or like just kind of put a microscope on, where was this during the beginning of the year. Like, you figured this out. This was such a huge part of his game and his success that created this buzz around Fields in the offseason. Like, he was, you know, top 100 player as voted by his peers. He's in the like NFL script commercials talking about replacing his legs with wheels. Like, this was a part of his game, to the point where opposing coaches are game planning against this and then shocked that you're not using it, right? Yeah. So where was this in the first, you know, 6 weeks of the year? And I guess I'm just glad that it's back now.
You know, we talked a little bit before we hit live how he had 18 carries, which we both feel is a little too much. You know, we don't want to see the quarterback running this many times. Some of those are zone reads where he pulls it and he takes it, which is fine. And Fields was really smart. I mean, he didn't take any big shots. He got down. He slid when he had to slid. There were a few times when the Lions kind of jumped on him after the slide where I'm like, come on, when is Fields going to get that call? You know, other quarterbacks seem to get that call, but you know, it just doesn't happen with the guys that are athletic and running quarterbacks. They don't really get that the same as more of their classic dropback guys. They kind of seem to always get that call. So, yeah, I mean, this was the offense the Bears ran last year, which had some success. So build off that, build some more play action around it, build a few more dropback, you know, game around that, build some more quick game around that. But don't stop doing that. And that's what Getsy did. Getsy stopped doing the stuff that worked early on. And then, you know, it's nice to see it back.
You know, talking about that slide and guys hitting, it reminds me of this clip that I recently saw. And I don't know if anybody else caught this, but Mike Singletary hit a quarterback that was sliding. It was kind of this awkward in between, like it was a kind of a late slide, but Singletary took him out. And it would be absolutely a penalty. He probably would get fined today. Back then, whenever that was, you know, late 80s, probably early 90s, they called it the hit of the year. And they were celebrating how great of a hit that was. And they interviewed Singletary, and to Singletary's credit, he was like, you don't ever want to have this. This is bad. Like this, yeah. This was a bad situation. Like, you know, you don't want to have guys hit like that, you know, like you could tell he was like, no, this isn't good. Please don't celebrate this. But it was like, it was the hit of the year, right? We've come a long way, at least from that time period where quarterbacks were just getting cold cocked. And anyway, but yes, it would be nice if Fields got that call. Why don't we just roll right into the Fields report? So Justin Fields, 16 out of 23 for 169 yards passing. He had one touchdown, no interceptions, took two sacks, lost 18 yards on those sacks, and then had, of course, the fumble that basically ended the game. Quarterback rating of 105.2, so excellent quarterback rating for him. Also carried the ball, as we talked about, 18 times for 104 yards. Overall, if you watch this game and you thought that Justin Fields was the problem, I'm not sure what game you were watching. He played really well, had a great connection with DJ Moore, which was, you know, great to see that pick back up because, you know, that connection was starting to cook. And overall, I thought that he played a good game. What'd you think?
Yeah, same. The explosive plays. I mean, it's nice to see those back. I think it was Dan Orlovsky tweeted out that the, you know, with Justin Fields under center for the Bears, they average like 8 explosive plays a game. You know, that's been missing from the offense the last few weeks. Yeah, they got a couple wins. They won 3 of their last 6 before this latest L. You know, but, you know, it wasn't the type of offense you want to see. It wasn't nothing explosive. It was like too methodical. It's not modern offense. So Justin Fields being back in, they kind of opened things back up. He was able to go deep a little bit. You know, he missed a couple guys. You know, some with his fault, some wasn't. You mentioned the two sacks, which – The first sack happened, I had to talk to a buddy of mine. You know, it's, you know, he's got to get rid of that ball. But I haven't seen the All-22 yet. I just got it about an hour or so ago. I'm going to watch that sack. Watching it live, I didn't see anywhere to go. And at that situation in the game, sometimes the smart play is just to turtle it, hold the ball, and just go down. He had no running lane. There was nowhere to go. He was trying to hold the ball for a play. Sometimes there's no play. We'll see when I break it down, you know, where I attribute that sack to. This is the second sack he took. I mean, we already talked about at the top. Darnell Wright got beat pretty quick by Hutchinson on that play. I didn't put a stopwatch on it yet, but it was like a second. The guy was there. He obviously was reading the other side of the field first. He didn't even see him coming. Unfortunate. He got clobbered on that play.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it'll be interesting to see on the All-22. Like you said, we didn't get that until about an hour ago. But I think then that, like you say, sometimes the smart play is actually to just hold it because you don't want to force it. Sometimes, you know, try to fire it out of bounds, you know, over somebody's head, you know, that problem, that's more ideal, right? Than trying to get it right. But, you know, you're trying to make a play, you're trying to hold on to it, see if something opens up. I get it. There was early in the game, there was that free rusher that came in. Well, it wasn't a free rusher. It was picked up by the running back, but he kind of Olayed it. It was very early. Like, I think it was fourth play of the game. And Fields flushes the pocket, but he keeps his eyes downfield and then fires kind of a sidearm ball to DJ Moore. And there was a couple plays like that where it was just like, whew, okay, like there it is, you know. And I just, it felt like those are the plays that you were wanting. Did you watch the Bills game by any chance?
I did not.
Okay, so they threw up a graphic in the Bills game, and they talked about Josh Allen and how he has like more touchdowns than, you know, and all these like big plays than anybody else, you know, in the position. And then also has more turnovers than anybody. Right. So with Allen's such an interesting guy to watch because he plays hero ball and he can just, sometimes it works and he just takes the team on his back and he makes these tremendous plays that don't make sense that a quarterback can make. And that's why people talk about him in such a high regard, is that he's got this ability to make these explosive plays and extend plays and just, you know, carry pockets and, you know, do all these things. And then he has games where he just implodes and he just hands the other team the ball. And I think that, to me, watching Josh Allen and watching Justin Fields, is that to me, there's a lot of similarities. Maybe the highs aren't as high with Fields all the time, but, you know, maybe the lows are maybe a little bit more frequent than where Josh Allen is at this point in his career. I don't know. I'd have to really kind of think about that, but I think that's the kind of player you're talking about. A guy that is, you know, has the ability to create so many explosive plays. And particularly if he's able to extend plays and keep his eyes downfield and distribute the ball. The one play, Moore wasn't necessarily wide open. He wasn't just standing there with, like, you know, 20 yards of space. He threaded the ball. Yeah. I mean, it was a really cool throw. And so you see guys like, you see Josh Allen do that a lot. So when I was watching Fields against the Lions yesterday, that's what was coming to mind. Like, man, this is a lot like Josh Allen. And you harness that guy, then you can live with those highs, or you can live with those lows, because those highs in the long run are going to win you more games and it's going to create more explosive plays. So that's more of what I saw, was like the good part of that type of quarterback yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, the Bills, I mean, they run Josh Allen on design runs. Obviously they don't do it quite as much as what we see the Bears have done last year. And even this last game when he had, you know, so many carries, but it's, you know, it's the modern NFL. I mean, it's part of it. And Justin Fields is a big dude. I mean, he's a strong player. He's like, what, you know, 6'3", 225. I mean, he's not like a frail quarterback. He could take some hits. And like I said, if he's smart about it, if he gets down, gets out of bounds, you know, he is a threat. And when I was doing the rewatch today, was it Mark Schlereth was the color guy on Fox?
Yeah.
He was talking about how just the threat of Fields, just the threat of him running affects the defense. And we've heard, like you said earlier, we've heard defenses the Bears have played this year talk about how we thought Fields would run more. You know, we were expecting more of what we saw last year out of the Bears. And for some reason, the offense kind of got tweaked up a little bit. And they're probably doing it because they want to make sure he can win from the pocket. You know, it's more sustainable, you hear. But you know what? Win some damn games. You know, that's all what it takes. And if this is your best way to win is by running a little more, then let's do it.
Yeah, I think that the offensive coaching staff really outthought themselves to begin the year, right? Like they're playing that game where they're like, well, if you know that I know that you know, and it's just they got out of this. They didn't lean into what they should be majoring in, right? Like, this is what we're good at, and this is what we're gonna do, right? They're like, well, no, this is how I know how to play offense. We're gonna try to fit you into this. Hopefully the last part of the year is more showcasing what Justin Fields can do, either for the Bears or for his next team. Like, let's we don't even need to talk about that right now, but what's best for the Bears is showing what Justin Fields can do, whether or not it's for the Bears or for somebody else, because you know, the Bears are still gonna, you know, have ownership of his rights up until the point that they decide to trade him or not. So, all right, let's take a quick break. On the other side of this, we'll do everybody's favorite segment, the Three Bears. Stick with us.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right, Lester, let's talk Three Bears. Hot bowl of porridge, cold bowl of porridge, and just right. Fun game. So, you know, we already talked about Fields. So, you know, I don't think we'll necessarily do that. Or maybe you want to hand him a whole hot bowl of porridge. But there's a couple players I think deserve consideration here. So who did you have?
Last week I had this rookie cornerback in the just right category. But this week I got to give Tyrique Stevenson the hot bowl. You know, he gave up no completions. He finally had his first interception. He had a forced fumble on special teams. Best game of his young career. You know, he was physical. And I a lot of the runs that the Lions had, he was the first guy up in run support. And your corners have to support the run in this day and age. It's just how it is. They got to be up there doing their thing, especially in this Eberflus style defense. He did it. He fit the bill. He had a nice game. And our podcast, compatriot, you know, Taylor Dow predicted the pick for Stevenson, and it happened here in the game on Sunday.
Yeah, she'd been holding back that episode, hoping that Tyrique would have a big game, big play, and then you know she rolled it out, and here it is. So maybe Taylor is the reason why this big game hit, right? He's kind of seeded it into the universe. So good job, Taylor, on that. You know what? There's a few guys that you could highlight, but that's where I went to. Like, I think that you had to showcase the rookie, especially when he's had some tough games, which is exactly what you expect out of a rookie corner. And his comments coming into this week were even, you know, hey, I know I'm learning. Like, I'm taking this in stride. Like, he's approaching it the right way. That he had a great game. That, you know, that interception was just really just having your eye on the ball and making a play. What it was just an errant throw. It wasn't him jumping a route or anything like that. It was just kind of an errant throw. Those happen all the time. You know, like there's 3-4 balls a game that just are off target and they just sort of harmlessly fall to the turf. So being aware, you know, it was really, opportunistic and fun to see. And so that was great. And then did you mention the forced fumble?
Yes, on special teams, he got that.
Right, yeah. So he had a forced fumble on special teams as well. So I think he definitely deserves the highlight this week and really cool to see. So good for him. Let's flip it around. Cold bowl of porridge. Who did you have for this?
I'm just going the overall play calling being too conservative from the offensive and defensive coordinator. And we heard Coach Eberflus in his press conference today. He talked about how a game that went right. He bragged about how the play caller in that game, which happened to be him.
Oh, it was me. It was me.
Yeah. Yeah. He made some nice calls down. I'm like, oh my God, this just like, stop letting him speak. He's just a dumbass. I'll say that at least. He's just what he says. It's like, what are you doing here? Makes no sense. And, you know, he's conservative down the stretch. We talk about the shell he's playing. I mean, how many of those stuff at the end of the half, at the end of the game, too, they just went right down the field. You know, there's no resistance, no creativity. You know, you're heating up Goff the whole game. You're making him uncomfortable. You're getting in his face. You're in his passing lanes. And then, you know, at the end of the game there, you're just not too easy for him. And then the flip side, you know, Luke Getsy, you know, he's taking his keys here from his defensive minded head coach. You know, if he wanted to be more aggressive, he probably could, but whatever he may have there is being, you know, coached out of him by the philosophy from his head coach. He's taken the lead there, and defensive minded head coaches generally are more conservative. It trickles down through everything. And that's what we're seeing with Getsy. The run pass at the end there, you know, not going for it on fourth down, you know, some of those plays there. It's like, what are we doing? I mean, you trust Justin Fields the whole game. He's doing this amazing stuff. He looks great. And then in the fourth quarter with, you know, when there's a few minutes left, it's like he almost took the ball out of his hands. I don't agree with that. I think some of the mistakes were on Fields, but overall it's been a theme this year. Too conservative, and that's where I got to go this week.
Yeah, 100%. I did watch the last two drives specifically. I think I mentioned it at the top before we hit the record button for the podcast. But second to last drive, there were five pass plays by the Lions. The Bears rushed four with a twist, which, okay, at least there's one twist, not two, and then rushed 4-4-4. Right, so they rushed four on all five dropbacks, no blitz at all. Then on the last drive, they rushed four on the first pass play, five on the second, but again, it was like a delayed blitz. So, you know, okay, fine. Like, no, absolutely no pressure. But I don't even know if it was a blitz or it was just like a green light go kind of thing where your guy's not coming out of the backfield, so you rush. Again, I can't tell that with a TV copy, or probably can't tell that either way, but delayed pressure. Rush four, one true blitz, and then rush four with a twist at the end. That was it. I mean, that's 12 plays, only two blitzes in the final minutes, and you just let Jared Goff walk down the field. I mean, I think the All-22 is going to be even worse. I think you're just going to see them just drop back into the shell and just rush four. And because that's what it looked like, you know, a little bit from the TV copy, you didn't even really see anything middle of the field. And, you know, Jared Goff's a veteran. I mean, like, and Jared Goff's been playing good football all year. Like, he's been playing some of the best football in his life. And he was terrible early on in this game. Like, he couldn't do anything right. And then you change your philosophy and all of a sudden you let this veteran quarterback carve you up. No kidding. Huh, that's weird. Like, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep the pressure on. Do you think Brian Flores would have stopped what he was doing and be like, all right, we've blitzed enough. Let's pull back and let's just try to run the clock out. Like, there's more than enough time. Like, that's what I don't get. There was more than enough time for them to drive the length of the field twice. And that's exactly what they did. So much so that the Bears got the ball back at the end. Like, this wasn't like last second. Like, and they were running play. They were running run plays. It's unbelievable. Conservative coach. No kidding.
The Lions are too good to kind of play that game with.
Way too good.
They're a good football team this year. You know, you got to be the aggressor. You just got to keep being the aggressor. And the Bears, it's not in them.
Go down swinging. If you're going to go down swinging. I just, this death by a thousand cut stuff is stupid. They're playing to try to lose gracefully, basically. And maybe they get lucky with a win. That's what it is. All right. My cold. I mean, I had Flus down. We've already killed him. I'm going to say Jalen Johnson. And I'm not saying that he had a bad game. I expect great play out of him. Yeah. And he missed the opportunity to really, I mean, he might have cost himself some bucks on that, right? That little out route down by the goal line by Goff, he had it. That was going back the other way. I don't know that anybody catches him. That's likely a pick six, like a 95 yard return. It's there. That is a huge play. The Bears would go up 14-0, like changes the complexity of the game. And again, I know the Bears ended up, like, you know, having the lead late, all, you know, butterfly flaps its wings, chaos theory. It could be a completely different game. I understand all those things, but that was a 14 point swing. The next play, they scored a touchdown. They had a little nice little misdirection flip back play to Gibbs on that and scored that touchdown. That's 14 points right there. So you want to be, you know, one of the highest paid corners in the league. You want to be thought of as, you know, top corner in the league. You got to make those plays. So I'm giving the cold bowl to Jalen Johnson.
he's had a few of those this year where it's kind of been in his hands and he didn't make the play. And, you know, I mean, this is really the first year he's had multiple picks. So it's nice to see that he's doing it. But yeah, he's got to make more plays. You know, this is what's going to keep him from being paid like an elite corner, because he doesn't have the turnovers. And this is what he needs, you know. And if you're going to pay a guy top money, you know, you either got to be like, you know, Revis Island style lockdown, or you got to get a lot of turnovers. And he doesn't have the turnovers. He's a damn good corner. He's a really good football player, you know, but not having the picks is going to hurt him.
All right, the Just Right Bowl. I think there's a few solid contributors here that we can go with. Who do you want to highlight?
I almost had him for my Trends Tribute. I'm going to go Braxton Jones, left tackle. Just another solid football game now. He's been back a few weeks here. He was really hot. I guess what happened was where he had to leave the game for a few plays. Either a spotter or his teammate or someone thought he may have had some concussion symptoms. We heard him on the TV copy yell out, you know, I can't F and C. So maybe he has something in his eye. Someone thought he looked dizzy. So whatever it was, he was off the field for a few plays, came back in, and the few plays he was out, Larry Borum in the game gave up a couple pressures on those two plays. One was the touchdown, big pass to DJ Moore. And if you go back and watch that play, Tevin Jenkins comes off his guy late and basically picks up Larry Borum's guy.
Which gave
Fields the extra split second to step up and make that play. But Braxton Jones, he's to the point where I don't think you take a left tackle early in the draft. You know, I think Braxton Jones is fine. I think, you know, don't replace a guy you don't have to replace. You know, would I like to see an elite Joe Thomas style left tackle just dominant? Yes. But at the way the Bears are constructed now, you have a good right tackle, obviously, in the rookie. And your left tackle is a second-year player playing good football. Why change it if you don't have to? So if you have those draft picks, and like right now, we don't know if it's going to be quarterback. We don't know what's going to happen with Justin Fields. But if you're going to have two picks there, I'm not going left tackle. I like Braxton Jones.
No, I'm going wide receiver. I'm going to pair somebody up with DJ Moore. Absolutely. I like that. I had a few. I want to mention our guy, Kyle Santos.
Money
four for four, you know, like he's 19 for 20 of the year. You know, he's just been kind of out of his mind at this point. Would you really be surprised if they extended Cairo Santos? Like, if it feels like they're ready to give him some new money, but he's turned himself into one of the best kickers in the league. So yes, that's great to see. Sure, we can give him one too. Wasn't the guy that I necessarily wanted to highlight. DJ Moore, again, coming back. This is exactly what you expect from him. Maybe we give DJ Moore a target in the last quarter. You know, maybe you keep going to him. Like, again, what are we doing? Why not try to feature him to move the sticks there towards the end of the game? But again, that's not the Getsy way. But I wanted to make sure we talked about Montez Sweat. You talked about him a little bit too, but recorded his first sack, and just wanted to make sure that he got a little love here, because again, he brings a different dimension to the Bears defense, and it's good to see him finally get that first sack. He's been getting a lot of pressures, but it's nice to see him finally record a sack for the Bears.
Yeah, Sweat's, you know, he's the multiplier. I mean, that's why the Bears traded for him. You know, they wanted to come in here, and he had some pressures. He was good. He rushed from the interior this game a little bit, so he's a guy you can kind of move up and down your line. We just need to see him play a little more. You know, we need to see him up in that 75-80% range at minimum. I know when back in the day when the Bears would play Akeem Hicks a little too much, because he was getting up there. Montez Sweat is still a young man. Let him play. Get him on that field.
All right. Well, that's what we got. Anything that you want to extend the conversation on for, you know, yet another division loss? You know, we got two more division games coming up here. You got the Vikings playing on Monday Night Football. You got the bye week, and then you get these same Lions again. You close out the year with the Packers, you know, but you've got, you know, Josh Dobbs, right? You know, guy this is on his third team, but yet he's playing the least competent football for the Vikings. So, you know, there's a chance here that Coach Eberflus is going to go to 0-11 against the division before you know it, right? Like that's kind of what we're talking about here. But anything you want to highlight before we get out of here and hang out with the YouTube commenters for a while?
Oh, this is going to be our last chance to say anything for the holidays, so everyone have a safe and happy Thanksgiving. You know, we'll have something popping on the channel here. I mean, I know Bill's got something coming up. Taylor's got something coming up, possibly. Mason's going to do something after the holiday. He's going to record his Bare Bones on Saturday morning because of the holiday. But, yeah, everyone have a great, safe, happy Thanksgiving.
Yep, those are good words to end on. Try not to get into an argument with your uncle. Everybody's got an uncle that they're going to get to an argument with. Just try to avoid it. You know, just walk into the other room and grab another slice of pie or whatever it is that that will help you get through that. But yep, appreciate you all. We're thankful for you. Yes. And we'll be back on the other side of this on Tuesday then to talk about the Monday Night Football game against the Vikings. So enjoy Monday Night Football. You probably won't hear this until tomorrow, but enjoy this game that I think could be a Super Bowl preview. So, you know, some good teams playing football on Monday Night Football tonight, and we'll hit you on the other side. So until then, bear down.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast-closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.